So it was about a month ago now, I preached a sermon calling us to bring a gospel lens to our political lives by asking ourselves whether any given policy or politician or position was, as Jesus demanded, good news for the poor and liberation for the oppressed. Well, this morning, Jesus is getting political again. And this time, he's calling on us to put some skin in the game. Bless those who curse you. Do not strike back when you are struck, but rather turn the other cheek. Give without looking for compensation or reciprocity. This kind of political living is costly. And I have been finding it rather difficult to read the news of late, particularly through the lens of this gospel passage. And I can only imagine how much more difficult it would be if my livelihood were more directly impacted by the threat of tariffs. Never mind my life by deportation, or the loss of medical care, or the threat of redrawn borders and imposed settlements. It is, after all, much harder to love your enemy when the threat is actually looming. And so I found myself thinking back to that instruction from Jesus and remembering who is doing the teaching and what has already been set forth as the guiding principle for our lives. It's Jesus, the one who declared that he had been anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring good news to the poor and liberation for the oppressed, and who calls us to do the same. And that is still the test, the key to understanding everything else. Which means that the teaching before us today, whatever else it means, cannot result in the opposite. It cannot be a call to those who are abused to resign themselves to their fate. Abusers have tried to tell us otherwise in a gross corruption of Jesus' teaching. And the church, far too often, has gone along with them. Women told that it is their Christian duty to stay in abusive marriages. People of color told to accept their place in the ordering of society. People living in poverty told to be thankful for whatever they are given. LGBTQ2S people told to keep their identity and their relationships hidden. We have created a false world which benefits a few at the expense of many, and we have called it ordained by God. Loving our enemies does not mean loving this false world. In fact, Jesus opens our eyes to this false world so that it can be overturned in favor of the world that is ordained by God, the world God created and knows to be very good. Now, unlike me, South African Archbishop and theologian Desmond Tutu can speak from a position of authority on this matter. In the world Desmond Tutu knew, he was constantly told that he was not loved by God, not valued by God, in quite the same way as the white citizens around him were loved and valued by God. And such a message is part of the attempt to corrupt Jesus' teaching in order to sustain the false world. And when it works, it creates passivity and despair, which is good for those in power. Sometimes, of course, it creates rage and violence, which, in fact, can also be good for those in power, because it provides cover and justification for control and correction. It also often creates hate and the justification for hate, and that is no good for anyone. And somehow, Desmond Tutu was able to see the double lie at the heart of all of this. He was able to see that not only did God love him in spite of what the world might say, but also that God loved those who sought to do him harm in spite of what they did. And so somehow he had to find a way to love them too. This basic principle shaped all of Desmond Tutu's political life, his theological teaching, his activism, placing him always on the side of the people who were being oppressed. Black people, women, LGBTQ people, Palestinians, Tibetans, over and over. And always in opposition to the lie that God loves some people more than others. All the while insisting that God's love is not permissive of power, but rather demands justice. Because again, love does not simply allow injustice and abuse. The call to turn the other cheek is not a call to suffer for suffering's sake or to deny one's own belovedness in light of another's. It is not a call to endure violence. It is a call to reject violence and the tit for tat, us versus them, me first script this false world would have us live by. Love is active, not passive. Love is perhaps the only form of resistance that does not ultimately become that which it resists. And this is good news for the poor and liberation for the oppressed. And a call to solidarity with them and with the world of God's intention. Writing for the Political Theology Network, the Reverend Dr. Timothy McNinch says, Jesus' command to love our enemies does not preclude the types of resistance that involve political advocacy, legal challenges, nonviolent activism, and the like. Indeed, it gives those involved in that struggle a place of strength, a sense of God-given dignity from which to pursue justice, even when that justice is elusive. Love your enemies, do good, and expect nothing in return. Love changes the game, disrupts the economics of power and dominance, and takes hold of the promise of divine rather than human benefaction. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. So I'm afraid, once again, just like about a month ago, I have no actual clear instructions for how to do this very hard, holy work. We have only the call of Jesus that we are all, no matter our position or our politics, called to reject the false world we so often encounter with the world of God's creation, which by the grace of God and the love of Jesus, we know to be the true home, not only of ourselves, but also somehow of our enemies.